to learn a little Chumash. After Shavuos, a person, after Yontiv, a person sometimes begins to think, is already Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, is already noch after Chanukah, and Tu B'Shvat, and Purim, and it's already Pesach. And then after Pesach, you had, the Baruch Shalom gave us 49 days to fix things up till Shavuos. Really, from Tu B'Shvat until Shavuos, the days are very illuminated days. The whole period from Tu B'Shvat until Shavuos are very, very, and really until the 20th day of Sivan. Those days are very, very special and powerful days. So a person wakes up after all these days, and as we're approaching the times that are more difficult, the times after the 20th Sivan and Tammuz and Av, and you begin to wonder, Sof Kol Sof, what have I accomplished? What's going on? Sometimes a person can have a little bit of Chalisha Sadas. That means a person can become a little bit weakened and feel a little bit of a sense of despair. So Hashem comes right after Shavuos to strengthen us with the long parasha, with Parshas Naso. And in the parasha, and in this parasha, we have the one real bracha that's found in the Torah, the actual bracha that's found in the Torah. The Birchas Kahanim, the Bracha of the Kahanim, Yerecha Hashem v'yishmercha, Yo Hashem ponav alecha v'chuneko, Yisa Hashem ponav alecha v'yosem chasholem. We have the actual nusach of the Bracha, the language of the Bracha, which we don't see. We don't have any other Bracha spelled out in the entire Chumash. So Chazal ask in the Medrash, Meheichon zochi Yisrael l'Birchas Kahanim. From where did the Jewish people benefit, from where did we gain? What did we do to earn Birchus Kahanim? How do we get this amazing thing, the blessing of the Kahanim, which is very powerful? Where do we get this from? So it says in the Medrash Rabbon and Amre, the Chacham said, Mimatan Torah. It's a strange Medrash, no? So from where does Birchas Kahanim come from? From where does the blessing of the Kahanim come from? It comes from the giving of the Torah. Well, what does that mean? Everything comes from the giving of the Torah. What does that mean? Right after Birchat Kohanim, right after Birchas Kahanim in the Torah, the next thing, without any interruption, after Birchas Kahanim, the Torah tells us, "Vayhi b'yom kalos Moshe la'akim es ha-mishkan," and it was when Moshe Rabbeinu finished constructing, lifting up the Mishkan, "Vayimshecho so," and he anointed it, and he sanctified it, and he poured over the oil, over the kelim, over the vessels, and so on. So Rashi says on that pasuk, "Betzalel," Rashi is asking a question, "Betzalel v'holiyah v'chol chacham la'ev also as ha-mishkan." The Pasuk says, Vayhi b'yom kalos Moshe, that on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu completed the Mishkan. So Rashi is asking, why just Moshe Rabbeinu? The truth of the matter is that the work was really done. The work itself was done. The Hakamas HaMishkan took place, of course, with the instructions of Moshe Rabbeinu. But there was Bezalel, who was the great architect, really, of the Mishkan, and Ahaliyav, and the Chachmei Lev, and there were other great people who were involved with the building of the Mishkan. So Rashi's asking, so, but why does the Torah make the whole Mishkan dependent, that it gives all the credit to Moshe Rabbeinu? The entire Mishkan is credited to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Rashi's question, because the Torah says, Vayhi b'yom kalos Moshe, and the day that Moshe finished the Mishkan. There are other people that are involved. Somebody have a napkin or something? Have a napkin. He said, the same one, that's the same handkerchief list we got. So Rashi goes on and says, Tlo akosu b'moshe. So Rashi answers, Lefisha mosar nafsho alav, liros tavnis kol dover v'dover, kemoshe hereu bahar. So Moshe Rabbeinu was moisa nefesh. Rashi's answer is that because Moshe Rabbeinu worked so hard. There was so much self-sacrifice and struggle. To do what? Liros Tavnis called Dover V'Dover, to make sure that everything would be constructed exactly as he was shown on the mountain. Kemoshe Hereu Bahar. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to make the Mishkan on Har Sinai. And Moshe Rabbeinu had great Mesiris Nefesh, great devotion to carry out the building exactly as he was instructed, exactly as it was shown to him on Har Sinai. Lahoros Tosa Hamalacha. In other words, he told all the workers to do exactly what they were supposed to. And Rashi says Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make one mistake. All the instructions that he gave were perfect. He didn't make one mistake. And we see a similar thing, Rashi says, by David HaMelech. Everybody knows that the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, everybody knows that David HaMelech wasn't privileged to actually do that. That would only be completed, would take place with Shlomo, his son. Nevertheless, Rashi says that because of the great Mesiris Nefesh, because of David HaMelech's longing and desire, and because of his tremendous, tremendous devotion and self-sacrifice to bring about, ultimately, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, therefore Rashi says the Beis HaMikdash is called after, it's named after David HaMelech. And Rashi ends up, he brings the puzzle, Fichat Nikra, Hal Shmosha Nemar, Re'ei Beischa David. It's called Beis David. The house of David. So I have a very simple question. I'm sure that you're all wondering about the same thing. What's the big Mesiris Nefesh? I mean, what was the great self-sacrifice? Rashi himself said that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown exactly on the mountain what he had to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem gave him specific instructions. So what was the Mesiris Nefesh? To go over and to give the instructions to Bezalel or Eliyahu and the other Chachamim? Rashi himself said that he had Mesiris Nefesh to carry out what he was shown on the mountain. Okay, so, what's the big Mesiris Nefesh? I mean, what's the great requirement of devotion and self-sacrifice in the Maisa? Everything was shown to him. Number one. Number two. Now, that's a simple question. What's the Mesiris Nefesh? Number two. You know, there are a number of things, the most famous of which is the menorah, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know how to make. You remember? He didn't know exactly how to make. It's Niskasha. He had problems how to make until Hashem showed him how to make these things. So what's going on? If we're just learning that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Nefesh, and Hashem showed him on the mountain exactly how to make everything, then why were there a few things that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to make? And of course, how does all this connect to the bracha of the Kohanim? That this is connected to the blessing of the Kohanim. Good, let's learn. What I'm going to say now is based upon the teachings of one of the Gedolei HaMusar, Rabbi Yerucham from Mir, one of the great Bali Musar, with, of course, a Hasidic twist, but primarily based upon the teachings of Rabbi Yerucham. First, let's understand, we have to learn a little bit about the nature of prophecy, of Nevuah, how it works. Because the Torah, Rashi says over here, Hareyu Bahar, that he was shown on the mountain. Now, when it says that he was shown on the mountain, it doesn't mean there was a video. When he was shown on the mountain, it means he was shown B'derech HaNevuah. B'derech HaNevuah means what? In a prophetic vision. He was shown by way of prophecy, Hashem revealed to him. In other words, if you or I would have been able to be standing there, of course we couldn't, but if you or I would have been allowed to stand next to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we'd have like pulled up a seat and gotten a little thing of popcorn and put on, you know, taken binoculars and wait to see what it's going to look like, the menorah, and what's going to the rest of the Mishkan and the Urios and the Kroshim and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, and we're waiting to see all this, So Moshe Rabbeinu would have been seeing these things, and we wouldn't have seen a thing. Because when it says in Rashi, Hareyu Bahar, that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to make everything, it means that he showed him in a prophecy. It was a nevuah. He showed him a prophetic vision. So now, let's learn about prophecy. When the Navi is shown a vision, does that mean that he sees the actual physical object itself? In other words, did it happen that Moshe Rabbeinu stood upon the mountain and Hashem showed him a picture of the Mizbeach of the altar? That Hashem showed him a picture of the Shulchan of the table? The answer is definitely not. That's not how it works. Let's understand. The Navi Yirmiyahu. Let's take an example. The Navi Yirmiyahu. So at the beginning of the Sefer, it says, Vayhi Dvar Hashem Eli. Yirmiyahu says, and the word of Hashem reached me, and Hashem asked me, Ma'ata ro'er Yirmiyahu. Hashem asked me, what do you see, Yirmiyahu? Va'omer, I told him, I said to Hashem, Makal Shaked Ani ro'er. You remember this Nevuah? What's this? The vision? He saw a stick of almonds. Vayomer Hashem Eli, and Hashem told me, as he told Hashem, this is what I see. And Hashem told me, hey, tavta liros. What? Very good. Very good. You saw it properly. Hey, tavta liros. Ki shoked ani al divari la'asoso. The word shoked, we once spoke about this 2 years ago with Birchus Kahanim, the word shoked means to do something quickly. And shkedim, almonds, blossom faster than anything else. In 21 days, that's why you sing by Tu B'Shvat, Shkedia Parachas, right? The famous niggun. The Tu B'Shvat Higia song. The shkedim, almonds blossom very quickly. So Hashem showed Yirmiyahu a vision of a stick of almonds, growing, and he asked Yirmiyahu, what do you see? And Yirmiyahu said, this is what I see. And Hashem said, very good. And you know what that symbolizes? It symbolizes that in a very short time, I'm going to carry out the punishments that I have warned the Jews about, and I'm going to destroy the temple. That's what it says in Yirmiyahu. Okay, so can I ask you a simple question? Hashem told him, you did very well. You saw it fantastic. Hey, tavta liros. That's a compliment. Hashem tells you that. Hey, tavta liros. Means that you have good eyes. So what's the big deal? What? If you would go to sleep and you'd see a stick of almonds in your dream, and you'd wake up, and someone would say, what did you see in your dream? I saw a stick of almonds. So yishkayach. I mean, what's the big deal? That's what you saw. No? So you're reporting back what you saw. So Yirmiyahu sees a makal shaked, and he says, this is what I saw, and Hashem says, great, that's it. And you know what it means? It means that soon, like the almonds blossom quickly, soon, shokedani, there's going to be a catastrophe. So obviously the pshat here is not that Hashem showed him, and he did not see a physical stick of almonds in his dream. He did not see that. Because that's not a chokhmah to report what you've seen. Anybody could say what they've seen. Any child can have a dream and report it to the parents, as weird as it may be, the child will just say, this is what I saw. This is what I saw. I saw an elephant standing on his head. Hey, tav delir, that's a deep thing. I mean, that's, you're just telling what you saw. And Yirmiyahu didn't even say the interpretation of the dream. Hashem told him the interpretation. So what's going on? So try to understand this in a deep way. It's a very, very, very basic, a very basic thing in understanding Nevuah and understanding prophecy, b'chlal. Just understand Nevuah. The Ari HaKadosh spent a great deal of time teaching that everything in the world has a soul. Everything has a nefesh. Everything has a spiritual root. The Rishonim described the entire world like upside down trees. The roots are in Shemayim. The roots of existence are in heaven. And what we have here down below, what we were able to experience down below, these are called, all the things that we have in our lives, this is all called the edge of Hashem's ways. Ktzos drachav in Iyov. Ktzos drachav, the edge of Hashem's ways. Everything that we see, all we're looking at is something that has come after many, 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 many stages, until finally from that spiritual seed, from that gar'in, from that spiritual marker, from that shorish, from that source, something has descended through many, many levels, until finally it entered into the lowest physical realm, this world that is known as the world of asiya, of physical action. And only after it has descended into this world, does that take apart, does that actually take upon itself, assume a physical reality. Until then, it's spiritual. And that spirit, it descends from a higher spiritual source in the higher spiritual world, and it travels and descends many, many, for instance, when a person puts on a pair of tefillin, a person puts on a pair of tzitzis, but the tefillin is in the higher world, is something that's not physical at all, that the Torah is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom, and through that wisdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said that there's a mitzvah called tefillin, and this tefillin, this higher, amazing spiritual presence, has descended through many, many levels of existence, until finally, you have a leather box and straps, and you put on the shal yad and the shal rosh, until you actually put on physical tefillin. The roots are in heaven, and the branches are on earth. What we have here, only the final branches, the end, the very end, but the roots are above. And if God forbid something happens to the roots, if in any way the root is damaged in the higher world, in that spiritual source, in the energy source, if there's damage, if that is removed even for a second, so then physically, life cannot continue. Now we know we're living in a time of galus. There was once upon a time when, if God forbid, a Jewish person would violate a certain law for which he or she was chayev kares, which means being cut off. So something would take place in the higher world. Something was removed in the higher world. And as a result of that, that person couldn't live beyond a certain time. If the soul of a person dies, if the soul is removed, the body can't continue. Then we understand that when the Rambam writes in his Mor Nevuchim, something which is very strange for modern people like us, when the Rambam writes that the planets have souls, the Galgalim have a nefesh, he writes, these are his words, listen to the Rambam's words. V'oso ha-mekor hu nefesh bli safek. The source of life of every planet, the Rambam calls a nefesh, a soul. And modern people look at that and say, well, this is crazy. What is that? A planet has a soul? So what the Rambam is saying is completely corresponds to the teachings of Kabbalah, of the Ari HaKadosh, and of the Zohar, and of the Ramchal, and all the tzaddikim who follow in the ways of the Zohar, that everything in existence has a root in the spiritual world. And when the Rambam says that the planets themselves have a nefesh, he was saying that that's the root of that physical object. And this is the deeper meaning of what Chazal say: Ein lecha kol eisev eisev, shein lo mazel berakia shemak eisev armer lo gadel. Every single blade of grass, has a mazel. The Gemara says, has a certain star, a constellation, that gives that blade of grass a clap, a smack, and the blade of grass is able to grow. Every single blade of grass has a root, a shoresh in the spiritual world, and without being continuously connected to that root in its spiritual source, the grass cannot grow. And that's the meaning of the pasuk in Mishle. Hashem b'chochma yosad aretz. Hashem with wisdom established the world. Chochma means the spiritual source behind something. Chochma comes from the first yud of Hashem's name. That's chochma. Chochma is the energy that gives life to everything in this world. So when it says in Mishlei, Hashem bechochma yosad aris, that Hashem with wisdom, with chochma, established the world, it means that everything that's physical has that yud. Has that yud from Hashem's name that is continuously pouring life and fusing it with life. A rock, a tree, everything in the world has a nefesh. That's Aleph. Beis. It says in the Medrash in Shmos, Omra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad she'odem arishon mutal goylam heralo HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol tzadik v'tzadik she'osid lamad mimenu. Before Hashem even gave life to Adam Arishon, to Adam, Hashem showed Adam all of the future tzaddikim that were going to come forth from him. Yeshu toli birosho shel Adam. So Hashem showed them that there are certain tzaddikim that are going to come from your mind. Yeshu toli b'sa'aro. And Hashem showed Adam there are certain tzaddikim that are going to come from your hair. Yeshu toli b'metzcho. There are some that are coming from your forehead. Yesh be'enav, the eyes, be'chotmo, the nose, be'fiv, the mouth, be'ozno, the ears. V'tei de'lecha, and the Medrash says, you should know, listen to this amazing thing. You know, there was a person in the world by the name of Iyov. I mentioned him a few minutes ago. And this person, Iyov, for no reason that made sense to him, was caused to suffer in a horrible way. And the whole book of Iyov revolves around the question of why should good people suffer. And Iyov is tormented by this question. A tzaddik who loses everything. And Iyov is struggling with this. And he asks Hashem. And Hashem appreciates that he asks. And he keeps on asking until finally Hashem responds to him and says, Eifo Hayisa. Where were you when I created the world? And the Medrash explains that the meaning of Eifo Hayisa is the same Medrash. V'shoh shahaya Iyov mevakish lizvakechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Iyov said, Erech Alefan of Mishpat. When Iyov says, I want to take the master of the world to court. Iyov says, I want to take God to court. I want to bring God to Din Torah. Why does he run the world in such a way where good people suffer, where children die? And the people who are wicked are prospering. They have it good. So Iyov says, Erech Alefan of Mishpat. I demand to bring the master of the world to justice. That's what Iyov said. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meshiva, Hashem answered him, Atem Mevakish Lesvakechi Mi? You want to argue with me? Because you want to have a debate? Eifo Hayisa Biyaz the Aretz. Where were you? Eifo Hayisa, where were you when I established the earth? Where were you when I created the earth? So the Medrash says, Mahu Eifo. What is the deeper meaning of the word Eifo, which is where were you? What's the deeper meaning of the word Eifo? Omle HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Iyov Emor Li HaEifa Shelcha. Eifo, or Eifa means also, as the commentaries explained there, it means in Hebrew, the word Eifa or Eifa means measure or source. The source of something. The word Aleph Yud Pei Hei can mean where, Eifo HaYisa, where were you? And it also means the source, the root of something, the marker of something. So it says in the Medrash, you want to argue with me? Iyov, Amorli, tell me. Ha'eifa shalcha, Eifa ha'yisa, Ha'eifa shalcha. Be'eze mokom ha'isa tluya berosho, or be'mitzcha, or be'eze eiva shalo. In your day after, be'eze mokom ha'isa eifoscha, eichata misvakechi mi. The Medrash says, Iyov, where do you come from? Do you come from other Marishan's eyes? Do you come from Adam Rishon's hair? In other words, what's your source? What's your root? Where do you come from? You want to argue with me? You want to bring me to judgment for what I've done in this world? Do you know where you come from? Because every human being comes from Adam Rishon. In other words, just like every single physical thing has its root in spirituality, everything has a soul, has a nefesh. Adam HaRishon, the first human being, Adam, was the soul of all mankind. Every single human being had a place in the eyes, the ears, the hair, the nose, the legs, the feet, the toes, the fingers of Adam HaRishon. So Eve wants to bring God to judgment, because Eve can't stand what he sees in this world, which is the branches. Eve looks at a world and the world is sick, and the world is distorted and upside down. So Hashem says to him, you want to argue with me? Eifo Hayisa. Eifo Hayisa means, do you know where things come from? I mean, do you know that you don't even know where you come from? Do you come from other Marishan's eyes or hair or nose? Where do you come from? I once told this amazing story. There's a story. I think I told it to you. I told it in the shul. There's a story that everybody heard of the Chayza from Lublin. The Rebbe from Lublin. He was called the Chayza because he had such vision. He had powerful vision. I told you many times that when he was a child, they had to cover his eyes with black patches because he would walk in the street and start telling everybody what their sins for the last 20 years when he was a little kid. So they started covering up his eyes. And then the tzaddikim of the generation davened for him that he shouldn't have such powerful sight. So he, instead of seeing like for 500 miles, he saw only for 100 miles. It was a whole thing with the Chayza from Lublin's eyes. He had good eyes. We'll talk about that at the end again also. So one time the Chayza was going away. Now thousands of people used to come to the Rebbe from Lublin for help. So he was going away. He was leaving. He said to his great student, the holy Jew from Peshitzcha, the Yid HaKadosh, he said to the Yid, listen, I have to go away, but these people need help, so I'm putting you in charge. I'm placing you in charge to please help all these people. So the Yid said, I should help. What am I supposed to do? They come to the Rebbe for help. I don't see. I don't understand. In order to help somebody, you have to be able to find a tikkun for their nefesh, for their soul, right? People are coming that are broken, and things are broken for many lifetimes, right? And people need tikkunim. They need to be fixed. So the Yid asked, how am I supposed to do anything? What do you want, Rebbe? What could I do? I can't do. So the Chayza told him, don't worry. For the day that I'm gone, I give the eyes to see. I give you my eyes to see. And the Chayza left. So the Yid is standing there, and the word went out. The Chayza said that everybody can come to the Yid, to his student. And they could tell him the tzaris, whatever it is, and the Yid will take care of it. So you understand, he's a young man. It's his first day on the job. And he's sitting over there, and the hundreds of people knocking on the door, and he lets in the person. So who told it? The one who told this maase over is the Yehudi himself told this over. The Jew from Peshitzcha himself told what happened. He said that the first person comes in and starts crying. He starts crying and telling over his problems. And the Yehudi is looking at him. He's waiting for some power, you know. He's waiting for something to happen. He's looking at him. He sees nothing at all. He doesn't know what to do. It's not working. And he's staring at this man's forehead. And the Yid said that after a few moments, everything became black. Everything became black. And then he saw that person's face. He saw nothing else in the room. He described this. He saw nothing else in the room. Everything was completely black. And all he saw was shining that person's face. And then he saw hundreds of different faces. All of his Gilgulim, all of his earlier lives. He said he was able to see men and women changing their faces, different things he saw. And he described that he was filled with a horrible terror and fear because he understood what this man was going through, right? You can understand what someone's going through if you know where they're coming from. If you don't know where a person's coming from, you can't understand what they're going through. So he was watching this, and he said it kept on going, and he was filled with terror until finally it suddenly stopped, and there was a huge flame coming from the dark face. And on the forehead, all it said with three letters in fire, Aleph, Dalet, Mem, Adam. Then the Yehudi said he passed out, he fainted. When he saw that, he fainted. And they brought him to, and he was able to tell, he says, I was able to help this Jew. That means that every time the Chayzef Lublin, every time the Chayzef Lublin spoke to someone, and he looked at that person's face, he saw the person all the way back to Adam Arishan, whatever that means. We could just tell a story. Halavai, we should understand what we've gone through the last 2 weeks. He was able to see till Adam Arishan. Adam Arishan is the soul of all human beings. Eve wants to understand reality. How come a good person is suffering? How come a bad person is prospering? And the master of the world tells him, Eifo Hayisa, Eifo Hayisa, where were you? Where were you, Chazal revealed to us in a deeper way, means your Eifa, means your Mocha, your source. Do you come from Adam's eyes, his teeth, his hair? You don't even know your own root and source in creation. You don't know yourself, know where you come from. Adam Arishan was the seed from which all mankind was going to come. Nimela, now let's come back and let's review the whole subject. Let's understand. It's no chachma for you or I to look at a big tree, and we already read books about science, about plants, and we look at this tree and say, well, this tree comes from a seed. And I know what kind of a seed this tree comes from, because this is a redwood, and redwoods come from these kind of seeds. Well, this is a maple tree. Those are the only two trees I think I know. And it comes from, and these trees come from these kind of seeds. These are the kind of seeds. But you already studied these things. You already know these things, and you're looking at the tree. But take a person and put in his hand a tiny little seed. Imagine a tiny little seed you put in the person's hand. And in that seed, there could be fields and fields of flowers. There could be trees with thousands, hundreds of thousands of leaves and branches. Put a little baby in your arms. And when you look at that little baby, like those of us, Baruch Hashem, have been privileged to hold little babies in our arms. When you look at a little baby, and when you sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, How I Wonder What You Are, you're not wondering about the star, you're wondering what's going to be with this child. You're holding so much potential in your arms. There's so much potential. Can you imagine the chachma, the wisdom? Mi chacham, who is such a wise person who is able to hold a tiny child in his hand, to hold a tiny little seed in the hand, and to look at this and to know all of the toilades, all that's going to come forth from this root and source, all that's going to be flowing forth from this, to know by looking at the seed, by looking at the beginning, by looking at the marker, by looking at the root, to be able to know all the eventualities. To be able to look at Adam Arishan and to know all that's going to come forth from him. To be able to see the seed and to know all the plants and flowers that are going to grow. Chazal tell us that by Shlomo HaMelech, he was able to look at the Gidei Haaretz, called the veins of the earth, at the roots of things in the world, in the earth, and he was able to know which Gid goes to Kush, which leads to this land, and which goes to that country, which goes here, and which goes there. In other words, Shlomo HaMelech had the Chochma to look at something in its place, in its beginning, and by looking at something in its beginning, to know its end. To be able to know where it's going to go, what's going to happen from this, where is this leading to? To be able to look at a neshama, to be able to look at a soul before it even comes into a body, and by looking at the neshama, to know exactly what that person is going to go through in all of his lifetimes in this world. And now we understand an amazing thing. We'll see the wisdom of Moshe Rabbeinu, to see how this applies to us, simple people like us. You know, we just read on Shavuos the vision of Yechezkel. The vision of Yechezkel, we saw the chariot. He saw a vision of God's throne, the chariot. So says the Medrash in Koheles, Mi ka chochem u mi yodeh peshe dover, chochem is odem tori ponev. Mi ka chochem ze akadosh baruch hu mi yodeh peshe dover, ze Moshe Rabbeinu, chochem is odem tori ponev. Om Rabbi Shimon, Godol koach hanevim shehim medavim et atzur li yotzra. As it says by Yecheskel, val dmus hakisei, dmus kemara, odem olov milamala. That when Yecheskel hanavi looked upon the throne of God in that vision of the chariot, he saw the image of a human being. And the Medrash says, the Chachamim say, who's as great, who is so great to be able to see the image of a human being upon the throne of God? What an amazing thing to see a vision of God, of His throne, and upon the throne to see a human form. That's what the Chazal say. Who knows, who understands, L'damos Tzura L'Yotzra? To see the relationship, the comparison between the physical form and the spiritual root. So what is the meaning of this? What the Navi is telling us, what Chazal are telling us here, is the greatness of the Nevi'im, the greatness of the Tzaddikim, but especially the Nevi'im, is that they are searching for the godly root and source for everything that they see down here below in this world. And when the Navi Yecheskel saw people in this world, just like the Rebbe from Beshitzcha, the Yid HaKadosh, was able to look at a human being, and the Chayzer can look at a human being and see the root and source all the way back from the beginning to Adam Harishon. So too the Navi was able to look at a human being here in this world, and when looking at the face of the human being in this world, to see the image of God upon to see the image of a human being sitting upon the throne of God. That doesn't mean that Chas v'Shalom God looks like a human being. That doesn't mean that God looks like a human being. Chas v'Chalil Hashem doesn't look like a human being. It means that when Hashem created the world, He created it with the Torah. The Torah existed before the world. And every single one of us, you and I, and every single thing that exists in this world has its root and source in the Torah. Has its root and source by the throne of Hashem. And if the Navi is able to look at you, if the Navi is able to understand, to look above, and to see a vision, and at that vision to see a human being sitting upon the throne, that means that he's able to look at that root and source of all things and to see all that descends down into physical reality. And he's able to look at physical reality and from this world understand the root and source of the Adam, of the human being, of Adam Harishon sitting upon the throne of God. So let's go back. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain, so we asked the question, why is Moshe Rabbeinu given all the credit? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu given all the credit for building the Mishkan? After all, Hashem showed him the Mishkan on the mount, on Har Sinai, Hashem showed him a vision of the Mishkan. Hashem showed him how to make the table. Hashem showed him how to make the Mizbeach, the altar. And he's given all the credit. And Rashi says he's given credit because of his Mesiras Nefesh, his devotion, his struggle, his work. And we also had the question, and how about the things that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to make? How come he didn't know how to make the menorah, for instance, and Hashem had to show him how to make the menorah? So now we can understand, based upon this teaching of Rabbi Yeruchim, that when Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain, he showed him a vision of the Mishkan. He never showed him the physical table. He never showed him the menorah. He never showed him the altar. Just like Yirmiyahu the Navi was never shown a physical stick of almonds. He was shown some sort of a thing. A root, the spiritual root, and he understood from that vision, from the spiritual root of what it was, he could understand that this means a stick of almonds. And therefore Hashem told Yirmiyahu, hey, tav taliros, very good, you understand. That means you have eyes of the Yid HaKadosh, of the Chayzer. You have eyes that see to the beginning. You have eyes that understand that this world that you see before you is not all there is. Eyes that can trace back reality to the source of spirituality that exists above. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was shown a vision on the mountain of the Mishkan, he was never shown the physical objects. Therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to make the menorah, it doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu had like a technical problem. He didn't know how to shape it. He didn't know how to form it. It wasn't a question of the physical melacha, of the physical work that Moshe Rabbeinu was lacking in knowledge of how to form the physical menorah. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't know how to do this, what he was saying, Rabbi Yochum explains, what he was saying really was, I don't know how to take this that I saw in the spiritual root and source. I don't know how to bring this into physical reality. In other words, I see it in its spiritual source, but I don't know how to bring it down lemaisa into this world. I see a vision of the menorah, but it wasn't the physical menorah that he saw with his eyes. He saw something. He saw the root of what a menorah is in the higher world. It doesn't look like a menorah. It's a completely spiritual thing, and it descends through billions of worlds. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm stuck somewhere, like on world number, 2,355,000,000, whatever, I'm stuck. And I don't know how to bring this down to the last, to Asiya, to bring it lamaisa, into the world, into my life. So now we understand, let's finish up, I'm sorry it's late, let's finish up. Now we understand, it says in Shmos, Vayom Hashem Ro Ra'isi. It says twice the word I have seen, I have surely seen. Why does it say twice? So Chazal say, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Ata Ro'a Ri'a Achas, Va'ani Ro'a Shtei Ri'os. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you see one with one vision. I, Hashem, says, Ra'o Ra'iti. I see with double vision. I see with extra vision, twice. What does that mean? V'ani ro'a shtei ri'os. Ro'a ata oisam boim l'sinai mekablam tarasi. Moshe Rabbeinu, you see with your eyes, with your great power of vision, you see the Jewish people coming to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. But Hashem says, "Vani roa osam sha'acha sha'avo l'sinai liten lahem es haTorah umach ismo sibo." I see that they're going to come to Har Sinai, but after they come to Har Sinai, they're going to see a vision. The Medrash explains they're going to see, as we know from Chazal, they're going to see a vision of the chariot. And you know that on that one of the animals that was seen in the vision of the chariot was an ox. And that the Jewish people are going to see, Hashem says, that vision of the chariot of the ox. And instead of understanding what it really is, you know what they're going to do with the vision of the ox? What are they going to make with that vision? They're going to make what? An eagle. A golden calf. You hear this, Medrash? Hashem says, I see things to the very beginning. Moshe Rabbeinu, you see the Jewish people coming to Sinai and receiving the Torah. That's beautiful. But I see something after that. I see what's going to happen is that the Jewish people are going to see something, a vision of something great and amazing. They're going to see the vision of the animal by the chariot of the throne in the higher world, the ox. But instead of understanding in truth what it is and bringing it down in all of its holiness to what it has to be brought down to in this world, they're going to make an idol, an avodah zarah, in the form of a cow, of an ox, of a calf. That's why it says in the Pasuk, Vayamiru es kvodam betavni shor. Vayamiru, they exchanged the glory of Hashem. They exchanged their honor for the image of an ox. They exchanged it. The meaning of it is, they made a mistake in how that comes down below into the world. They saw a vision of something, but they didn't understand how does it actually descend into the world. So they made a mistake and they saw a golden calf. They brought it into the world in such a way. So Moshe Rabbeinu was being criticized here. Moshe Rabbeinu was being criticized for not seeing something to its very source. Moshe Rabbeinu saw everything in his perfect way. And he saw that the Jewish people are going to come to Sinai and going to receive the Torah and all that's beautiful by the chariots going to descend into the world. And Hashem says, but I see, unfortunately, I see beyond that. And I see that they're going to worship the golden calf. There were four tzaddikim that went into the orchard. I don't have time to talk about this now. They went into the orchard, and everybody knows that only one person was able to emerge from that deep place in Sholem. Only one left in peace. And who was that? Rabbi Akiva. What does that mean? And Rabbi Akiva was warning them. Rabbi Akiva said, when you come to that place, and you see the white marble, don't say mayim, mayim, whatever that means. Rabbi Nachman is big Torah on that. Don't say twice the word water. In other words, they didn't travel anywhere. Those four tzaddikim were entering to the deepest realm of metaphysical contemplation. They were entering to the higher orchard of things. And they were destroyed, except for Rabbi Akiva. They were destroyed by it. What does that mean? Because they couldn't draw down that vision into its final physical shape and form in a healthy, pure way. Only Rabbi Akiva was nichnas b'shalom. He entered in peace into that vision, v'yatza b'shalom. And he left in peace. But the others couldn't do it. So now we can understand when Rashi says, by Moshe Rabbeinu, Lefisha Moshe Nafshu Lav Liros Tavnis Kol Dover V'Dover K'may Shehereyu Bahar. You see, Bezalel and Ahaliyav and the other tzaddikim who were working on the Mishkan, their job, their work was with the physical kalim. And they were great craftsmen and great tzaddikim to work with the physical work. And Bezalel knew also the letters of the Aleph Beis with which the world was created. But the ultimate source of all of the objects of the Mishkan, and the Mishkan itself, all of that goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain. That's why the Mishkan is attributed to him. Because he followed it through from the beginning to the end. He saw it in its spiritual root, and he brought it down l'maisi in the physical world. That's Mesirus Nefesh. For that, Moshe Rabbeinu had to kill himself 1,000 times. You know, they say about the Baal Shem Tov, it's just the art side of the Baal Shem Tov I saw brought down in this farm, that after the Baal Shem Tov died, his son, Reb Tzvi, was worried how come his father wasn't communicating with him at all. He hadn't heard from his father, from the Baal Shem Tov. So it says that he was very upset about it. And finally, Reb Tzvi, the son of the Baal Shem Tov, had a vision of his father. And Reb Tzvi asked his father, how do you serve Hashem? Father, how do you serve Hashem? From that world, you know. Tell me, how do you serve Hashem? And then he didn't see anything. All he saw was a huge mountain. And beneath the mountain was a tremendous, tremendous valley. Deep valley. A canyon. And then he saw the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh on the top. He saw his father in his vision. He saw his father standing on top of the mountain. And then he saw his father jump off the mountain. And as he was landing, he was smashing against the side until finally, by the time the Baal Shem Tov came to the bottom in that canyon, he was smashed into a million pieces. And then the Baal Shem Tov said to his son, this is how you serve Hashem. It's a cheerful thought. This is how you serve Hashem. He told his son, it says in the Slonim HaSfarim, it adds on, that he told Reb Tzvi that when a Jew serves Hashem with Mesirus Nefesh, he throws himself off a mountain and is shattered into a million pieces, and every single piece that is shattered becomes a star, becomes a big thing in the higher world. That the Ikar of Avodas Hashem, the Baal Shem Tov said, is not the Kabbalah, not these deep things. The Ikar is Mesirus Nefesh. Mesirus Nefesh, to mamish, put all your koiches into something. Moshe Rabbeinu's Mesirus Nefesh, to carry through the thought, the deep thought, until it should be Lemaisa. That's the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And now we understand the connection to Birchas Kohanim. Let's finish up. The Svarim HaKadoshim teach us that any time that Hashem blesses you with something, anytime anything good comes into your life, either in a physical way or in a spiritual way, that physical or spiritual gift that Hashem gives you needs shmira. It needs to be protected. It needs to be taken care of. It's not enough just that you just get it. If we would understand for our children how much we have to daven and cry and beg Hashem that they should be well, And when a person has a spiritual moment, when a person feels closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Ramban taught, as is explained by the Kedushas Levi, by the B'dit Sheva, that when a person feels an awakening in his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Pasuk says, Im ta'iru, im ta'oru es ahava chetechbats. When there's an awakening in his orus of love for Hashem, you have to try to put into a chayfetz, achetechbats. You have to put into some physical kli. You have to protect it. You have to hold on to it. You have to keep it. Because all of us have had moments where we felt close to Hashem. All of us have had moments where we felt a spiritual longing. In other words, the spiritual root was awakened. But to be able to take that spiritual awakening and to be able to hold on to it and protect it and to put it into something physical and real, to put it into a kli. A person come out from Yom Kippur and you have a strong feeling for Hashem. But if you don't accept upon yourself more avoida with the Mesiris Nefesh to do something for Hashem, it's not just a feeling. You see, the tzaddik is able to take the feeling, the spiritual root of something, of what it is in its higher realm, in its vision. And the tzaddik knows how to guard it and protect it and to bring it step by step down till you see it before your eyes. And that's why you see right next to this parsha, it's also telling us right here in these psukim that all the nesiim, all the princes of the tribes brought their karbanos. Because you can imagine that when the Mishkan was completed, the Jewish people were filled with the presence of Hashem. So the tzaddikim didn't just sit there and say, wow, this is great, and to, you know, roll their eyes and to sing kol olam kulo. That's a beautiful thing. The question is, what happens when the lights go on and the guitar is unplugged? Then what do you do? So you see what the nesiim did. That when the Mishkan was built, they didn't just sit there with that spiritual root and source and feeling. They were able, like the Navi, like Moshe Rabbeinu, to take a vision, to take a feeling, to take a sensation, to take a moment of holiness, and to bring it into something that's real, that's physical, to draw it down through all the levels of existence till it's mamish here. So the tzaddikim, the nesiim, the princes of the tribes brought karbanos right away when the Mishkan was finished, not to let that feeling disappear. And that's the deeper meaning, I think, perhaps we could say. This is already not from Rabbi Yeruchim. That, I think, is what we could say is the deeper meaning every time we bench the Kohanim, make the bracha, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. May Hashem bless you and keep you. No, Akasha, what do you mean, and keep you? What does that mean? Guard you. It's enough to say Yivarecha Hashem. I mean, it's a bracha. Yivarecha Hashem. What does it mean? Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. May Hashem guard you. May He protect you. So maybe it means like we were talking about before, that Hashem made the world in such a way, where He will give you a bracha, but He gives you a little tiny thing, a little piece of something good. He gives you a little child, a little baby, but then He tells you, listen, Rabbi Yid, this is the bracha I'm giving to you. You have to know how to put this into something. You have to protect this bracha. I'm giving you a blessing. Make it real. Teach the child Torah. Be good to the child. Daven for the child. That there should be shmira. Ask me, Hashem says, daven to me. Cry and beg me that I should guard and protect this blessing that I'm giving you, that I should help you. This is a famous teaching from Yismach Moshe. What's the deeper meaning? I once told this to you of Nasa, Adam, Bitzalmeni, Kedmuseinu. When man was created, when Hashem created man, Hashem said, let us make man. So the Yismach Moshe says, what does it mean, let us? So Rashi already says that Hashem spoke to the angels, He said, in a nice way, let us make man. But the Yismach Moshe says that Hashem speaks to every human being and says, you and I together, let us make man. I'll give you what you need. I'll give you a Jewish heart. I'll give you a neshama. I'll give you a body. No. That's the spiritual. I give you a source. I give you a root. I give you a seed. Your job is the shmira. Protect what I'm giving you. Don't destroy what I've given you. Daven to me that there should be help to protect it. Yivrech Hashem v'yishmerech is all that a Jew could daven for. Hashem, don't only give me a bracha. Help me to know how to draw this bracha down l'maisa into my life. Not just to see a vision. Not just to have a feeling. Not just to have a child. Not just to have a parnasa. Help me to bring this l'maisa down through all the different levels and worlds that it should be good and stay and be a source of bracha. How many people have money? And because of their money, they have tsaris. They have tsaris. I can never forget. Years ago, I was in the bungalow colony. I was sitting in shul, and two guys are having a conversation instead of davening. And they were talking about their tzaris. What tzaris they have. This guy owes $10,000 here. This guy borrowed $100,000 there. These are very wealthy people. And I was a Rebbe in the bungalow colony. I was teaching the kids then, and I gave shiurim on Shabbos. And I was listening to them with all their tzaris. Their mom is broken people. And you know how grateful I was that in my bank account I had $20. And now, over the years, it's accumulated interest. I have around 23. And I said, Baruch Hashem, you know, what's there to lose? These people have tzaris. You could have parnasa, and Hashem opens up something for you. And you have a parnasa. Oh! Yishmerecha. The shmira. That it should go in a good way. That good things should come from the money. That the children should be good children with the money. That they shouldn't lose sight of who they are. That the right things should be, the money should be given in the right way to the right people for the right things. With parnasa, with knowledge. A person goes to college. Good, yivrecha Hashem. So Hashem blessed you with an education. V'yishmerecha. What's the shmira? This is the connection between what? Birchas Kohanim and Matan Torah. That's the Chazal we began with. Chazal asked, from where did Birchas Kohanim come from? From Matan Torah. From the giving of the Torah. Say, yes, what do you mean the giving of the Torah? Everything comes from, what does that mean? What does Birchas Kohanim have to do with the giving of the Torah? So I think the answer to that means, look how Hashem was davening by the giving of the Torah. Mi yitein v'hoi levavim zeh. Hashem was saying, I'm giving you a Torah, kinderlach. Be good with it. Take good care of my Torah. That's what it says in the pasuk. Mi yitein v'hoi levavim zeh. Halavai, they should fear me always and love me the way that they do today. Hashem gave us his Torah. It's so precious. It's a seed. The Torah is a seed. It's a precious, precious gem. It's the spiritual source and root for all life. And Hashem gave it to us by Har Sinai. He said, Kindleach, don't destroy what I'm giving to you. Take good care of it. Shmira, guard it. Bring it down, Lamaisa. Don't just sit there and talk about Torah. Don't just sit there saying it's about Torah. Lamaisa, be people of Torah. Halavai, you should love me and fear me always the way you do today. Hold on to your feelings. Put them into something real. That the feelings that you have by Shavuos shouldn't go away. You should draw them to real things, the Maaser. That's what it means to receive the Torah. Every year when it comes to Shavuos, Hashem sends into our souls, into our lives, a new Torah, a new source, a new garin, a new seed of Torah. And we have to dive into Kadosh Baruch Hu, that now that you've given us this bracha of Yishmerecha, that's the connection, perhaps, between Vayhi B'Yom Kalos Moshe and the day that Moshe Rabbeinu finished the Mishkan. And why is it called by Moshe Rabbeinu if everybody else was making it? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Nefesh. And what was his Mesiris Nefesh? To take the idea and to guard it. To bring it L'mais into a perfect Mishkan. Shavuos Hashem gives us the idea of Torah. And he says, Kindlach, guard it. Bring it L'mais. Birchas Kohanim, Hashem gives you a bracha, Yivrecha Hashem. V'yishmerecha, children, take care of my brachas. I give you a million brachas and you're throwing them away. To guard the bracha. And I'll end, I want to tell you a story I told you around 6 months ago. But I'm repeating it because it has to be told here in the context of this Torah that we're learning. Please forgive me for all the inconvenience, for the time and everything else. I told you a few months ago a ma'isa. I know that some of you have been complaining that there haven't been enough ma'isim. A good friend of mine suggested today, listen, why don't you just get up and tell them 6 or 7 ma'isim? You know, really, that's what people want to hear. The rest of it is, you know, people like stick around through all this boring stuff to hear a ma'isa. One year, you have to see, you have to, you know, how much you have to suffer until you get to one of my ma'isim. And then half, more than half the time, I don't even tell you the ma'isim, you walk away. And my rals and diarrhea kodesh and all these things, and I didn't get a ma'isa from it. How much you suffer for one ma'isa? There are thousands of ma'isim. I know a lot of ma'isim, but it's not always possible to know which ma'isa has to be drawn down into that Torah at that time. So I therefore choose not to say ma'isim when it's not the time. Or I don't know which ma'isa to say. But here there's a ma'isa to say. He was a Meiser. You know, the Meiser, most Jewish Meisim start off with there was a poor Jew. His name was Moshe, I suppose. And this person was basically told by the Parish, by the Goyisha landowner, he said, Moshe, if you don't have the money that you owe me by Monday, I'm hoping you remember the Meiser, I told to you a little while ago. If you don't have the money by Monday, I'm going to kill you. And although this Parish, this guy was generally known to be a liar, but when he promised things like murder, he usually kept those promises. So, he said, if you don't have the money by Monday, I'm going to kill you. She comes home, he's crying, says, this guy's going to kill me. He tells his wife, what's going to be, what's going to be. She was a big believer in Tzaddikim. She said, listen, go to Lezhensk. We don't live so far from Lezhensk. And there you have the Holy Rebbe, the Rebbe of Melech. You have the Rebbe of Melech from Lezhensk. She says, listen, she said, go to the Rebbe Elimelech. Thousands of people go to him and they helped. Go to the Rebbe Elimelech. But you know, when you go, you just don't go empty-handed. You have to take a kvitli. That means a kvitli, you have to write a note. You have to write a note with what the problem is and the names and so on and give it to the Rebbe. Now, our friend Moshe was barely able to read or write. So he didn't take a little, you know, you take a little kvitl, a paper. This guy took a huge card and he said, Elimelech, all misspelled. Elimelech, I need money for rent. Now see, you know, this guy's a very, very plain person. Elimelech, I need rent. And he puts it on a string and he puts it on his chest like this. That's all. That's his kvittel. That's it. Now he was so poor, the story tells us, he was so poor that he was afraid to use up his shoes. So he put his shoes over his shoulders and he's walking barefoot. And he's going to Lezhensk. Not far from Lezhensk, there was an inn. These places were usually situated on the way to places where there were big tzaddikim. A lot of thousands of people would go there. There was an inn, and our friend walks, and everybody is laughing at him, you understand. He walks like this, Elimelech, I need money for rent. Everybody's laughing. He goes over there, and he sees that there are a lot of people crowded around a table. And he asked somebody, what's going on? What's happening over here? So he told him, there's the Chayzer from Lublin. The Chayzer from Lublin is here. Because he was a student of the Rebbe Elimelech, so he was going to see the Rebbe Elimelech. And all the people were gathering around the Chayzer from Lublin. So Moshe is standing there looking, and the Chayzer from Lublin looks up, and he looks through the people. I told you, the Chayzer had very good eyes. And he looks at this guy, at Moshe, and he tells everybody to move over. He says to the mice, Moshe, come here. He still calls him by name. He says, Moshe, were you a crazy little bird? He called him. Crazy little bird. That was an affectionate term. He says, what are you doing? What is that? So Moshe says, how do you know my name? He says, what's the difference? What are you doing with that? Where are you going with that? So he says, my wife told me to go to Rabbi Elimelech. So the Chayzer, everybody was quiet and the Chayzer was looking at this. The Chayzer knew how to read a kvittel too, you understand. So the Chayzer was looking at this. And he looked up and he said to Moshe, listen to me. You run for your life because this guy, I know what's going on in your life, this guy is going to kill you on Monday. You better run for your life. He's going to kill you. So he said, listen, my wife told me to go to Rebbe. I don't know who you are. They said, I know, I see, everybody says you're a very big person. My wife told me to go to Rebbe Elimelech. And I'm going to Rabbi Elimelech. That's it. He didn't like this report. He got a bad report. Got a bad reading. So he goes to Lezhensk. He goes into Lezhensk. And he walks in there. And he comes there, you know, he walks into the Rabbi Elimelech and he points to his paper. So the Rabbi Elimelech looks at him. And again says, Moshe, he says, how do you know my name? Says, Moshe, he also saw when the Rebbe Elimelech looked at the kvittel, at the card, he also saw that the Rebbe from Lublin saw it. Because one tzaddik can tell if any other tzaddik ever looked at it. So he says to him, I hope you remember the Maisi. He says, Moshe, make sure that the guy doesn't give you a penny less than 10,000 rubles. Tell him if he gives you 10,000 rubles, you'll stay. So Moshe's saying, if he gives me 10,000 rubles, yeah, go ahead. Go on good health. Not a penny less than 10,000. Listen to what I'm telling you. See, he walks out and he says, he's crazy. He's crazier than the last one. The guy's gonna kill me on Monday. And he's telling me, this, Elimelech is telling me that I should tell the guy I need 10,000 rubles. And I'm not settling for less. Is they all crazy, this whole thing with the rabbis? He goes back home, he tells his wife, do me a favor, don't ever mention to me any of these rabbis again. I don't want to do any of this stuff, it's crazy. And Bekitzi, you know, he said, listen, I don't know what's going to be, God will help. Monday, Moshe is walking in the street, and sure enough, his mazel, the pirates, the guy is going by in a wagon, gets off the wagon, says, Moshe, let's go. Where's the money? He says, I don't have it. So what do you don't have it? Today's Monday. He says, I don't have it. This guy beats Moshe to a pulp. He leaves him half dead, bleeding on the floor. And he screams at him. He says, listen to me, I'm going to finish you off later. He goes back home. The guy feels very good. He goes back home. Now, it happens that there's a rule in all of creation that every anti-Semite likes one Jew. There's such a rule. Every anti-Semite likes one Jew. So it happened that this guy's wife, her favorite Jew, she was an anti-Semite, but she liked Moshe. Why? Because she used to send Moshe around all over to buy things, to pick things up. He was like her shit-gingle, you know. He went around for her. So it happened that day, like a half hour, an hour later, she says to her husband, did you see Moshe? So he laughs, says, yeah, you're Moshe. I left him bleeding to death in the street. She says, you what? That's my Moshe. You left him bleeding for the... I want you to know that you better bring him back. I love him. He's a good guy. He's all these years helping me out. You bring him back. And if you don't bring him back to me and you don't help him and he should feel better, I don't want to ever see you again. We can forget about our marriage. So he goes running to look for Moshe. And he finds out whatever he gets. He traces him to a certain place and Moshe hears that the guy is there and Moshe goes hiding. He figures he's going to come finish. He promised to finish him off. So Moshe's hiding and the guy says, Moshe, I know you're here. I promise. I swear to you. I want to apologize. I'm not going to touch you. I beg of you. I'll take care of you. So Moshe's hiding under the table there, and he hears this, and he remembers, maybe he's not so crazy, Rabbi Elimelech. He says, something's going on over here. So Moshe says, you know what? For 10,000 rubles, I'll agree to come out. 10,000 rubles, and I want to be left, and leave me alone with my piece of land. 10,000 rubles, and to be left alone. So the guy, he's a very wealthy man, he says, okay, you got it, 10,000 rubles, fine. Moshe comes out, everything is fine. Moshe, from being a poor man, invests and buys, he becomes a wealthy man. Finally, his wife tells him, listen, no, Moshe, you never went to the Rebbe from Luzensk, you never went to Rabbi Elimelech from Luzensk to thank him. It was Mamash Anais. He never went to thank him. So he decided, okay, but this time, instead of going with his shoes over his back, he goes in a beautiful carriage with white horses, a beautiful suit, and he comes into Luzensk, and he goes to the Rebbe Elimelech, and the Chayze from Lublin was there, and they recognize him. So the Chayze is standing there, and the Rebbe Elimelech, and they say, Moishele, nu, whatever happened with you and that guy? What was the end of the story? So he tells over the whole Maisa. He tells over the whole story. So the Rebbe Elimelech turns to the Chayze from Lublin, he says, you see, both of us are able to see. You see, and I see. He said to the Chose, the difference is that you're only able to see until the patch, until the smack. But I'm able to see what happens after the smack. That's the difference between me and you. I'm able to see what happens after the smack. That's the difference. All of us know how to see until the smack. All of us know how to see problems in the world. All of us know how to see difficulties in our lives. The greatness of a person, the mesivas nefesh of a person is, the emunah of a Jew is, to be able to see something beyond the patch, after the patch, to have emunah to see, to believe in all the good things that Hashem is protecting and guarding and holding for His people to the end of time. Hashem Shabbat should help us that we should see, not only that Hashem should shower upon us all the brachas of the Torah, but we should know how to take care of Hashem's brachas. And b'schus the Torah that we're learning, and b'schus our mesivas nefesh, Hashem should send us the bracha that we've all been waiting for. You should be zoichim mitzvah Hashem to see b'yas HaMashiach and binyan hamikdash and kibbutz golias. M'hem yameinu amein v'amein.